This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Joining us in the Players Lounge tonight is a former Central Coast Mariner, now plying his trade over in the UK. Please welcome to the show, young striker, Josh Bingham.
Cheers, lads. Yeah, good. Good to be here. Been a while since I've been on a show like this before, so I'm looking forward to it.
There's no show like this, Josh. We're all good.
Good to hear.
Mate, and he is an international guest too, just for the listeners. So Josh is currently over living in London, so it is a big international guest for us. What's the weather like over there, mate? How's life treating you?
It is improving. Far cry from about a month ago when it was snowing. We're coming sort of into the springtime now, so it's improving, but I must say it's sort of a long way away from the Central Coast weather. I think that was the biggest change when I came over here, was just that.
Don't worry, you're not far away from your allotted 5 days of sunshine for the year.
It's true, it's coming here, I think, around May, end of May is when it's due, I think.
Mate, I don't know, I'd probably almost trade the sun so I could be near Spurs and go and watch games in London, especially at the new stadium. So, it's not a bad trade.
Yeah, it looks good, doesn't it? I saw a few photos of that, a few videos. Looks really nice.
Well, look, mate, if you get your way down there and start playing for Spurs, we'll have to make a trip over to come and see you.
All right, sounds good.
I think that's the deal. So, mate, nickname. What do the lads call you in the change rooms?
I've got a few at the moment, actually, being over here. It's just Josh, which has been a bit of a difference. But back home, I get Bingers. I think that's the main one, Bingers or Binger, Bingo. I think they're probably the main three, but yeah, definitely Bingers, I think, is the one that stuck the most.
It's good to hear they're creative over there, though.
I was going to say, too,
Josh, they just come up with straight Josh. There's no effort required for there, right? That's poor. There has to be better than that, mate. Obviously, I give them a list beforehand and just say, look, here's the four names or nicknames I don't mind. You can pick one of these.
Yeah. I mean, even like back home, if there's no nickname, we at least put like a Y on the end of a name or an O or something, but it just doesn't happen over here.
We might stick with Bingers.
No, I'm sticking with Bingers.
Yeah, that sounds fine. Yeah, let's do that.
So, Bingers, funniest football story or experience?
There's probably a few that I can't really mention, but I mean, we had Wellington away, and my roommate and I won't go into details of who that was, but yeah, we had a win over there. I think it was 3-1. We beat Wellington in... We were in Christchurch, I think, and we had a night out anyways after it, and turned into a very long night. Anyways, we got back to the hotel and the bus was ready to go, and we're still kitted up from the night out. Team waiting in the lobby, ready to get on the bus, and we're just rolling in. So, yeah, that was a bit embarrassing. Took a bit of explaining. And
what was the fine?
I don't know if we got a fine, to be honest. I think it was just the silence was more the killer than anything, I think. Just the no communication, just the looks and not actually being talked to about it was sort of worse.
You know you're in trouble there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And have you been keeping up with the A-League and seeing any of the games while you're over there?
Yeah, I generally just catch the highlights. I mean, obviously the games, the time difference is sort of hard to watch them live. So watch the highlights, obviously keep in touch with a lot of my mates that are still involved. But yeah, it's not as much as I would have liked to, I think, just because of that time difference. But I do see what's going on still, yeah.
Who's your favourite player currently that you've been seeing on the highlight reels?
Well, I suppose... Throughout the A-League, I mean, who's having a really consistent season? Let's see.
Stick loyal, Bingers, with one of your mates. Pick one of your mates.
Well, I mean, I can't go past Payne. I know he's sort of the past few weeks hasn't been involved all that much, but earlier on in the season, I think he's just the most consistent player that's been at the club for the past few years. Very reliable, you know, works and can create something out of nothing. So, for mine, I think... Yeah, he's good for a worldie as well. So I think, yeah, for mine, he's...
He's not much for a tap-in, is he?
No, he doesn't mind either foot as well. So I think that's the best thing about it is he can pop up, create something himself and get the team back in the game or win them a game. So
So if we ask who do you support, are you sticking loyal with the Mariners?
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah, still got a lot of good mates that are playing there, so...
And they need all the fans they can get at the moment.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
Mate, I think you're too. That way. I think you're too. Being as you're too clean cut to be a Mariners fan, mate. I see the Wolfpack this year with him, Bull, all growing the beards and stuff like Team Wolf. I think you're too clean cut, mate. We wouldn't send you there. We'd have to send you somewhere else.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll be open to it.
Away from football, mate. What do you like to do to relax and enjoy yourself?
Back living at home. Obviously, being on the coast, it was always. Sort of the beach. The beach was sort of our little go-to after training, you know, weather was good. We also started, a couple of us, a Tempin bowling team, actually, which was a bit of fun over the sort of 2017-18 season. So there was, yeah, four of us that joined the league, and that was a Wednesday night, but then it grew into more of a hobby as well. So after training, we were hitting the lanes, and that was a bit of a fad that we had for a bit there. So
it's pretty cool.
It was good.
What was your
started
highest
out as a bit of a joke.
What was your highest score?
Oh, my highest score, I think, was 240, 242.
Wow.
Adam Pearce was one of our team members there, the goalkeeper, and 299 one night, 11 strikes, and then for the perfect game and left one standing. So,
don't invite us, mate. Yeah. We're not interested. Yeah, if you ever give us an invite, there's plenty of things we'll come to. We're not coming bowling with those
we'll
numbers.
Still be
we'll pass on that one.
Fair enough.
Worst roommate on away trips. Now, I know you mentioned before about your story, and you said, yeah, Mr. X. So this gives you a chance to dob someone in. Who is it?
Well, definitely not Mr. X. Trent Pahaja, only room with him, I think, maybe once or twice when my regular roommate was injured. Yeah, definitely Trent.
The Rocket Man.
Oh, yeah. I love the kid, but... just like a deafening silence, didn't really like to do much. Conversation was at a premium. It was just sort of keep the telly on, and we're just laying there on our beds, and you ask him if he wants to go out and do something. It's just a no, just a straight up no.
Doesn't pack a personality.
No, let's just say it was a pretty boring trip. But I think that was early on in the piece. I think rooming with Trent a bit later on would have been fine because he came out of his shell and actually turned into one of the funnier boys in the team. So he's a good lad, but that was definitely probably the worst away trip.
Mate, what I like about that is you said young lad, and considering you're 24, right? I love that you're looking down on these guys like they're young guys, mate. You're still young yourself, but... It reminds me of
church.
I played in a tournament on the long weekend with a few ex-Socceroos boys, and they were in the room watching Everybody Loves Raymond after games. Now, I expect that from guys who are over 35, but not from a young bloke like
that. Yeah.
So he needs to explain himself.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So if you're watching a bit of TVs, thanks to Trent there, what reality show would you go on?
Yeah, I'll put my hand up for a bit of cooking, I think.
He's missing the sun. We'll send him to Love Island.
Yeah, Love Island. again, not really my scene. Oh, let's stick to the cooking. I reckon I'd
Master Chef,
a bit of a shake up. Yeah.
Good idea.
The more he's trying to get away from it, Josie, the more we're trying to hang in with his missus. Let's give him a break.
Yeah, I know. We'll give him a break. We'll go back to game day and the football world that he loves. What would be and what is your pump up music before a game?
I'm not really one much for music, like sort of putting the earphones in and sitting there by myself. I see a lot of guys doing that. I'm more just the get the music on the speaker in the change room, blaring that, and just anything, you know, with a bit of tempo, a bit of sort of upbeat R&B maybe, but nothing too specific on my end.
So a big fan of the clubhouse DJ.
Yeah, don't mind that.
So, mate, if you're currently at Wimbledon, the old Crazy Gang, what sort of music are they playing?
Yeah, we've got two of the gaffer and the assistant, and two of the Crazy Gang. So, they're sort of more the same, I think, just in the change room or in the gym. It's just extremely loud, actually, but it's always sort of the same R&B or new type of hip-hop. Not really much of a change up there. I think anyone... the Dares Change the Music would, you know, be putting their head out the water. So they just keep it on that and keep it loud, and that's about it.
Just on Wimbledon, is there a tribute or a big photo of Vinnie Jones somewhere in the sheds there?
There's not, no.
Probably Fashion New and Wise definitely got a spot there.
I just want to know, is there a big a tally count of red cards that is on the wall? Someone counts the goals and Vinnie's counting cards?
Yeah, I think you could. You probably could make the whole change room a shrine to Vinnie and his antics, but no, nothing like that. I'm not sure how long they've been at this place, but it's not the newest of facilities, so but nothing like that, I'm afraid.
If there was a red wall, he would have kicked it down anyway.
Yeah, it's true.
And just the final question, mate, before we move on to some serious football stuff, and this pretty much goes back to the reality show you said you'd go on. What meal would you cook if you were trying to impress somebody?
It's a hard one because my staple meals, they're not too impressive, so I think I'd sort of have to step out of the comfort zone. I don't mind cooking a curry, so I think if I nail like a chicken korma or something like that, that's probably what I'd serve up to impress someone.
Well, I'm impressed.
Pretty much impressed. Yeah, I was going to say, we're all raising our hands. We're all
get it in there. Yeah.
So let's just move over. We'll pass over to you, PK. Get a few football questions happening.
Sounds like a plan. Bingers, you impressed through your youth time playing at the Mariners and able to secure a senior contract. I mean, how did you find the transition from youth to senior football?
Yeah, I mean, for me, when I went to the Mariners 2013, Graham Arnold was still there, and he was all about sort of integrating the youth boys into the first team environment straight away. So, I mean, in my first couple of weeks, I was playing a preseason game for the first team. I think I might have even played a first team game in preseason before a youth team game. So, I mean, that was just sort of the culture we had, always sort of in training with the first team as well. So I suppose that made it a lot easier because there was never that disjoint between the two teams. And then obviously Phil Moss carried on that same philosophy that Arnie had. So the 2 years I had in the youth team was, really enjoyable and sort of always leading towards, you know, being in that first team environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And did you find, was there any particular player that took you under their wing to help you through that transition?
I think just all the first year, especially there, just all the senior boys were sort of really understanding and, you know, when you're young and you go into that environment of what it's like. So like Emile Stojowski, he was, you know, a Wollongong boy as well. So he was always helpful. Daniel McBreen, Hutch obviously as well. So yeah, just the boys that have been there a few years and sort of understood what it was like for someone in my situation was always helpful, and they're always, you know, willing to have a chat to you.
And what's the difference that you find between the A-League and where you're currently over there experiencing the full life of football in the English leagues?
Yeah, big difference. I mean, I think what you see in the A-League is you know, more technical. People talk about the physicality of the A-League as well, and it is to an extent, but I mean, playing in the leagues over here, it's so much just about winning, getting 3 points, you know, doing whatever it takes to win. It's not so much about how you play. It's just about being, you know, desperate and first to the ball. So you make sure that you're winning at the end of the game by whatever means possible. So I think that's the biggest difference, is it's not so much time spent on, you know, setting up defensively and your shape. It's more just about...
results orientated. Yeah. Do you think that's because of the promotion relegation importance there compared to maybe in the A-League where it's more, we're playing the same side every 4 weeks?
100%, yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, there's such a financial burden on teams if they go down, and financial gain if they go up or stay up. So, yeah, I think that it's all attributed to that, really. Every team that's down in the leagues wants to climb, and nobody wants to drop down. So I think it's... it is more just about that survival type football than playing to impress.
So how are you finding this, considering you're a striker and you're telling us that it's not as technical, it's more about being first every ball? Are you wearing multiple pairs of shin pads? How's that going for a young striker?
Yeah, I mean, my head's been getting a bit of a workout, I must admit. A lot of balls that bypass the midfield up to the front men, and you're just trying to nod things down or get a ball over the top and hold it up. So, I mean, it is different to Australia and what I'm used to, but I mean, I think I've done pretty well transitioning. So, I mean, you know, it's just trying to add another string to my bow, really, and bring that aspect into the game as well.
Mate, I'll give you the same advice I give my young fella who's 8. Just tell him, be careful of the money maker, right? You don't want guys who hit your head. They can kick your shins, hit you in the back. Just don't go near the head.
That's it, yeah.
What's the perception of Australian footballers over in the UK? So obviously you spent a bit of time over there so far, around 6 months or so, but what's their perception that you found of Australian footballers?
Not too many people know a whole lot about it. You get the odd one or two that, you know of the A-League. I wouldn't say I've come across anybody that follows it, really. So it is still sort of an unknown over here, you know. They ask a lot of questions, and a lot of them are quite surprised to hear that, you know, the standard of the league and the players that play in the league. So I think it's something that's not necessarily known over in Europe, is the quality of the A-League, or, you know, the fact that we even have a professional competition. You know, a lot of people still just think that it's all rugby and Aussie rules football.
Have our golden generation, as they call them, I suppose, the Premier League pioneers and the Vidukas, the Kewells, Millet, are they helping with the reputation of footballers like yourself coming over and getting a gig, or it's just you're packing your bags and you're kind of packing your talent and having to work from the streets up?
I think, definitely those boys, you know, everybody knows of them, and they're, you know, every time people, you know, someone hears I'm Australian, you know, they're always bringing up a Viduka or a Kewell or something like that, you know. So they're legends over here as much as they are back home. But I think it's surprising, actually, a number of Aussies that actually are over here that have come over as teenagers and applying their trade in the academies. You know, I came across a boy in Wimbledon, no longer there now, but, you know, a boy from Perth that had been over in the UK for about 3 or 4 years. So, yeah, I think there is quite a few Australians actually over here that are trying to make that step from academy football into first team football, and it's good to see.
Yes, so absolutely, and I guess more to going back to the A-League, there's been a lot of noise here around second tier and expansion. What are your thoughts on whether the A-League needs a second tier at all?
Yeah, I think the first step is just more teams in general. You know, I think that's one of the things that shocks most people, is when you tell them about the league, the fact that it's only a 10-team competition in a 27-game season. So I mean, just growing the league in general is to make it bigger, longer. I think that's probably the first step. And then I think if you're ever going to look at football in Australia being a dominant sport, then you have to think of the possibility of having a second tier and at least a semi-professional competition that'll, you know, allow teams to progress and become professional, because that's the only way to progress if you're one of those clubs, I think.
And what about for Bingers? What's the plan to move forward? Obviously, we discuss at Wimbledon at the moment, and you've got the season remaining there. What's the plans for yourself?
Yeah, so I've got 7 games left in the National League for Eastbourne Borough, and I'll be full-time with Wimbledon training, and, you know, I'm hoping something comes of that where I can stay on into next season. You know, if not, you know, I know that there's been a few other teams in the league that have been keeping tabs on me as well. So, yeah, hoping that something will keep me here next season in the UK. If not, you know, I'll have to assess other options, whether that be back home or, you know, abroad in Europe somewhere else. Yeah, I'll just have to play that by ear.
Who's been the biggest influence on your career to date?
Oh, definitely my father, without a doubt. I mean, growing up, he was always the one getting us out with the ball at our feet, and being a footballer himself, someone I always looked up to, and whenever I needed someone to go down the field with me, it'd be Dad. You know, he'd give up a lot of his time to sort of do some one-on-one coaching with me. And once I did start playing at a higher level, he was there at every game. So he's definitely been the biggest influence.
And hopefully we can see you running around one of his jerseys. We hear from you off air that he's got an impressive record of City, Charlton and so on. So any of those clubs would do, right?
Yeah, any of them. Wouldn't want that at all.
Yeah, just any of those clubs. Just any of those clubs would do.
Any of those little ones just running around.
What advice would you give to young players, considering you're only 24? This is probably a bit out there as a question, but what would you suggest?
Yeah, I think just from my own experience, I think a lot of young footballers think it has to happen straight away. Everything has to fall into place, but I think realistically that never happens. You know, I was 18 years old and still playing youth football for the Wollongong Wolves. Just sort of one good season or a couple of good games, a good trial, and doors can open. So I think it's just sort of that, the mindset to sort of hang in there and be patient, because, it's not always, dandy. You don't just sort of always go from academy football into pro football. You know, it can be a few different steps, but I think that's the main thing, is just to be patient and persistent.
Certainly, what wise words there are, Bingers. And if you could change one decision in your career, what would that be, apart from coming on the show?
I think probably put my hand up to come on in the last game of last season when we were getting thrashed 8-2 to Newcastle, to be honest. I came on for about 5 minutes. I hit the crossbar and tore my shoulder apart and had to get an operation 2 days later.
So double punish.
That wasn't the best night. Yeah, nah. So that was an embarrassing scoreline. And, surgery to follow. So that was, if I could change anything, I might have just stayed seated that night, I think.
Well, they got banged 8-2 again this season, but your shoulder's okay, so... We haven't repeated that.
Shoulders back to normal, but results still aren't there, are they?
No, they're getting close to it. But look, I just want to thank you for making time. We know it's early over there for you, but it's fantastic to see young Aussies doing well over abroad. We've had A-League experience already, and it's nice to take the show international as well, Bingers. So we very much appreciate it. All the Football Revolution fans will be enjoying hearing and eagerly watching to see whether we see your name in lights in one of the leagues in the UK. We're all hoping to do see that, and then we can say that we had him first. But thanks again for being on the show, and best of luck to keep banging them in the, the back of the old onion bag over there. So
yeah,
good luck.
Sounds great.
Good luck for the rest of the year. And if there's no club looking to sign him up, I know there's plenty of clubs out here that'd love to jump at that chance for a goal-scoring machine like yourself. So thanks again, and best of luck.
Appreciate it, lads. Thanks for having me on.
That was our Players' Lounge with the impressive young Josh.